found a new way to live. In years gone by, very few addicts ever had this last choice. Those who are addicted today are more fortunate. For the first time in man's entire history, a simple way has been proving itself in the lives of many addicts. It is available to us all. This is a simple, spiritual, not religious program known as Narcotics Anonymous.
I would like to introduce the first speaker, Cody C. from the home group, NA Way.
All right, Cody.
Home group.
I'd like to take a moment to thank the Unity Retreat for the subcommittee for putting this on. Thank everyone for your attendance and stuff like that. It couldn't be possible without all of you here, right? So I'm going to take a minute to get out of my own way. That's good. All right. So I'm an addict named Cody.
Cody.
What's up, family? So my clean date is October 1st, 2019, so I qualify. Right, I'm not gonna get too far into my story about what happened in the past. Used to get high, Narcotics Anonymous saved my life, and now I'm here, right? It's been a wild journey, man. I've never been to a men's rap. So I'm like, somebody just came up to me right before it and was like, what's this all about? Do we rap at it? And I'm like, I don't think so, man. So like, you know, it's a beautiful process, the sharing everything and just learning along the way. Right, so like, I'm not gonna stand up here and pretend like I know what it is to be a man, right? Because when I came into Narcotics Anonymous, I came in as a boy, right, in a man's body, more or less. I got clean when I was 29 years old, and I will share a little bit about how I got here, right? I was 29 years old, I was fresh out of treatment, I was, you know, so it was a couple days clean here, and I remember my mom saying, what are you gonna do? Now mind you, I'm almost 30 years old. I had nowhere to go. My mom let me come back there because I had burnt my life down once again. And I ended up back there. I said, I don't know, but when I was in treatment, I never went to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting willingly. So I never had like surrendered to this process, never really gave it a chance, anything like that. You know, I had been introduced to H&I through treatment facilities and institutions that I was in, but like I had no real groundbreaking experience, like never gave it a shot, right? So I was like, well, they had this thing and they said it was Narcotics Anonymous, so I guess I'll give that a shot, right? So my mom drives me to this meeting. I go to open the door's locked. They changed the meeting time. I walk back to the car. My mom says, what are you gonna do? I said, I'm going to get high, right? And she's like, what? And I'm like, well, you got two situations you can pull from, right? This is the alternatives I gave my mother at 29 years old who was driving my old ass around, right? I said, here's your alternatives. Either A, you drive me to get high, or you leave me here and I'm gonna walk to get high, right? She said, get in the car. I said, sweet, my mom's gonna take me to get high, right? She's not one of us, just tidbit of information. She broke every traffic regulation law and drove me all the way from where I hail from, Bedford, and all the way to Altoona. Never stopped at a stop sign, red light, at least that's how I remember it, right? I'm like, you are gonna get us in trouble, right? I could be embellishing a little bit. That's kind of why I said that little prayer, because I want to stand up here and sound really good, right? And that's not the fucking point. But what I do remember is my mom dropped me off at that meeting. She told me if I came out before all the other people, because like, it was kind of weird. I'd been introduced at H&I, so like they come into a facility, but like when I was there, I had to go in the basement. She's like, all right, well, if you come out before everyone else, I'll run you over with the car. And she looked very serious at that point in time, so like I wasn't gonna risk it, right? But I will tell you, when I got in there, I tried to find a back door. There was no back door. It was up in Altoona. I think it was Monday night basic text, right? That was the first meeting I ever attended willingly, right? And then willingly, I use that word lightly, right? Because like the gift of desperation brought me there, right? Because like at that point in time, I ended up at that meeting with money in my pocket before I went into treatment. I still had chemicals in my pocket. I still kind of had a place to live. I was never homeless. I was just nomadic. So I moved around a lot. I bounced around from place to place. But I still had like a roof over my head. I wasn't sleeping out in the rain or anything. But I'd gotten to that point before. So when I called up and I said, hey, can I get into some type of thing to try to help myself out? They said, sure. How long can you make it? I said, I have no idea. Like, you know what I mean? And at that point, that realization, that whole thing of, like, I have money in my pocket, I still have chemicals, and I'm asking for help. Like, that's when I knew, like, something had changed and shifted inside of me. And it was, that was a profound moment that I didn't realize how profound it was until later on, right? So when I came in here, I did not know how to be a man. Like, I told you, I bounced from couch to couch. If you ask any, I never had a bill in my name at 29 years old. Never. And that's a lie. I didn't think I ever had a bill in my name when I was 29 years old. Come find out, after started going to meetings, I got this thing in the mail and it said, you owe the garbage bill. I was like, son of a bitch, ain't that ironic, right? Like, the only bill I've ever had in my name is a garbage bill, right? And that's the epitome of my life right now. Like, it's garbage, right? And I contributed that to, like, all the decisions I made up into that point, right? Like, in there was some accountability there, very little, but, like, I had understood that, like, nobody did this to me, right? Like, this was something that, from a very young age, like, I felt really different, and I knew the situation I was in. It's, like, a weird dynamic, like, not blaming anybody, but at the same time not willing to accept the responsibility of it. Like, I had a great upbringing. My father was a, you know, he has some of his shortcomings that I'm not going to bring into this, but, like, he was a responsible, productive member of society, right? Like, you know what I mean? He was in the military for 23 and a half years. I understood, like, what it meant to, like, uphold a household and all that. My mother, same deal. She took care of me. I had all of my needs met, maybe not everything I wanted. So, like, I had, like, that structure. Right. And I couldn't blame them. They didn't force me to do anything. Like, the whole time, like, I was growing up, they told me, you know, like, I know it's cliche, but, like, no sex, no drugs, no rock and roll till you're out of the house. Right. Like, that type of dynamic is what I grew up around. No watching The Simpsons and all that fun shit. Right. But, like, you know what I'm saying is, like, I had no one to blame but myself. But so I wouldn't outwardly project that, but internally, like, I would say, well, if I had this, that, or the other, right? And that's kind of where, like, the end of the roads left me was right there, right? So I came into Narcotics Anonymous, and then I, like, don't remember shit from the first meeting I was in. I do remember, like, I ended up getting a sponsor at the end of that night because, like, it was, like, suggested to me in the meeting and stuff. So I walked outside, and I used to smoke cigarettes at the time. So I pretended like I didn't have a lighter and went up to the first gentleman I saw smoking a cigarette and asked him for a lighter, even though I had one in my pocket, because I didn't know how to communicate well with people, right? I didn't know how to interact. Did not know how to form a relationship. So that was, like, the introduction. He was like, here you go. And I was like, cool. I was like, will you sponsor me? He's like, what? And I was like, yeah. Like, I don't know. They told me to get one. Can you sponsor me, right? He said, sure. And then I didn't know what the hell to do next. So I asked him and stuff like that. Fast forward a little bit, that gentleman, I learned a little bit about myself after that, because, like, that gentleman's no longer part of the fellowship. So I learned really early on, like, because, like, I wanted to put all the responsibility on him, right? Like, I didn't know what this all entailed, but I was still a child. So, like, you know what I mean? He said some, like, cute shit, like, hey, like, I only match your willingness. Didn't know what that meant. Like, I felt like I was pretty willing to ask you for a lighter. I didn't know really what that all entailed. Like, you know what I mean? So, like, you know, I started to talk to people, show up to meetings. And there's this one gentleman, and it's pretty impactful in my life. He sat down next to me. I was in a meeting up in Somerset. And he sat down next to me, and he said, you know, Narcotics Anonymous, I didn't know this guy, but he seemed like my type of guy, always wearing tie-dye, and like, just at the time, like, I looked real homeless when I came in here. Not that that has any relevance or anything, but I had, like, fucking dreads down to here, and, like, I wore this weird trench coat thing that I don't fucking know, man. But anyways, that's one of it. So, like, I met with this guy, and he's like, you know, he gave it to me really harsh, and, like, I keep a lot of, like, people that I consider that can be a little brash around me. Like, lack of better terminology, assholes, I keep a lot of them around me, right? Because they don't give me shit, right? You know what I mean? Or they do give me shit is what I'm saying. And, like, they give it to me straight. And I need that for myself to hold myself accountable, right? So, like, this gentleman looked at me and he said, you know, Narcotics Anonymous is not for people that want it or need it. And I was like, okay. And he's like, it's for people that are willing to put the work in to to stay here. Because, like, and that resonated in my soul in that moment, and it made me, like, started engaging in, like, let me find a home group. Let me find a sponsor. Let me start this process that they call step work. Like, all of those things, right? Because, like, I'd wanted to be clean for, like, the last 18 years of my life and never knew how to do it. Like, I mean, in the beginning, yeah, I'm not going to say it was all bad or anything, but there came a point where I realized, like, especially when I started to get older and, like, out of high school or and stuff like that, or, like, towards the end of high school, and people were, like, doing, like, a lot of the gentlemen and stuff, but, like, so I'll speak on the men in my life. Like, a lot of the guys and stuff that I, like, was in my, like, junior year with of high school and stuff like that, they're like, yeah, we're going to look at colleges. And I was just getting it in, right? So, like, that never crossed my mind to go to school, right, or anything like that. So what I'm trying to get at is, like, they started to move on with their lives. They partied with me, and then, like, then their partying stopped, and mine never did. So, like, you know, I was always, like, a guy that knew where to get things. Like, I was a nickel and dime addict, so, like, I'm not going to sit here and embellish and say, like, you know, I was a drug dealer. No, fucking wasn't. Like, I maybe knew where to get stuff, but, like, that ended, though. Like, you know what I mean? And then it becomes very weird, like, the dynamic, like, as, like, other people are starting to move on with their life and start creating things, like, because, like, that was the freedom that they had. I was contained in my act of addiction. This disease of addiction told me I wouldn't amount to anything. Like, it kept saying these things in my own voice in my head. And, like, that became hard to get out of that rut. Like, you know, I, like, in the basic text where it talks about the tired old lie, right? Well, like, I told that tired old lie, like, once an addict, always an addict. Like, I used that against myself. Like, I don't know if that makes sense. Like, but I kept telling myself that, like, this is just who I am. This is what I do. And, like, there's no help for me. Because, like, most of the people, I'm like, well, they're not like me because they didn't use like me. And then they stopped using, and every time I try to stop using, I can't. I'm driven by obsession and compulsion. And, like, nor did I look to try to find any outside resources, like, you know, like this fellowship, to try to find people that were like me that got clean. Like, I didn't know, you know, and if I didn't know, I didn't know. But, like, that kept me sick for a very, very long time. And then whenever opportunities were afforded to me, like, I wasn't ready yet, right? Like I said, like, that in that moment when my mom was going to run me over with a car, that's when the gift of desperation set in. Like, I had tried ample times prior to that in multiple different ways to get clean, and nothing worked for me, right? Like, I had gone into treatments and I had detoxed and all that stuff, but, like, I was never ready. Like, you know what I mean? People would say, hey, you need to change your life. I'm like, no shit. Like, you think I want to be this way? But, like, then I made no action. So, like, when that gentleman said that to me in that meeting, like, this place is for people that are willing to put the work in. It made sense because, like, I'd wanted it and I needed it for a long time. Like, I knew, like, when I made that phone call, when I had money and I had all the things necessary to continue to keep my using going, that, like, I was going to die. Like, that was where I was at. That was my reality. Like, I was tired of, like, calling the ambulance for people, or vice versa, people calling it for me, and, like, not being there when I woke up. And that's shocking if anybody's ever experienced it. You're like, what the fuck just happened? And then, like, you don't feel like you did before they just woke you up. I don't know. I'm not going to dive into that. So, but this program, through example, it was like when I came in here, I saw people clean, right? Through example from all of you and, like, in our literature and everything else, like, all my predecessors, I thank you all, because, like, you gave me permission to be clean. Like, your stories were similar to mine. There was some things I could relate to. When you started to share, I was like, I started to identify little by little, like, and maybe they're not exact, but that was totally irrelevant, like, but the pain, the emotions and everything else, because, like, I had personalized my addiction so long because I attached feeling and emotion to it. Like, even though I was trying to numb it, that was one of the only, like, the sole things that I attached those feelings and emotions to, was the disease of addiction, which is total chaos. But, like, I personalized it. It's my problem. It's what I do. You know what I mean? And I didn't know how to relate to other people on that. So, because, like, most people, like, when I started to talk to others about it, they're like, yeah, you've got a fucking problem. I'm like, no shit, man. Like, how do I get out of this? Well, like, what would you do? And they're like, probably stop using. Fuck, man. Thanks. You know what I mean? Like, that's great. You know what I mean? That's great advice. I've been trying now. I think we're going on 18 years, so here we are. But, man, you guys did it for me. The energy I felt in the room where, like, and people came up and hugged me and loved me. Like, the men in these rooms, like, that aided in this whole adventure, this journey, as I like to call it, because, like, I'm still learning. Like I said, I'm not going to tell you guys how to be a man. Like, I don't know what that looks like. I've had role models and stuff like that, and I take attributes from different people. Like, this is what I envision, like, to this aspect of my life, or this is what I envision in this aspect, and that's forever changing. And I had to be very, like, conscious of that, because, like, I idolize people, and it's unfortunate, and sometimes I do it subconsciously. Like, I put, like, I remember when I found out my dad was human. Like, that was fucked up at, like, 7. Like, you know, I don't know if anybody else can relate, but when you're growing up, I thought my dad was Superman. He could do anything. Like, every time something heavy need lifted, he was there. Like, you know what I mean? If I needed to play ball, he was there. And then, like, I found out, like, he's not perfect. And that scared me. You know what I mean? Like, it really did. And I have to be careful even today because, like, I still seek. Unfortunately, it's something that I'm registering now and I'm working through, is like outside validation and confirmation and affirmation. And I notice I gravitate towards the men in my life that, you know, are impactful, that that aid me in my journey. And I forget they're human sometimes. So when they do fucked up shit, I'm like, what the hell? Or they'll say something that maybe doesn't align with my morals or values or views on things. And like, I'm like, but I'm probably wrong. But like, something in my gut's telling me that, like, I'm doing all right. You know, and like, that's something I had to become comfortable with. Like, is just saying, like, I just disagree with you. And we don't have to be disagreeable about it. Like, I just don't agree, and this doesn't align with what it is. And having that ability to have conversations with people. So, like, at this current moment, like, I'm going through my fifth step. And the way we do it is different from other people. I have to, like, you know, part of my process is I call people and ask their experience on the fifth step. It's a little bit different than the way we break it down. I have to list all my character defects that were prevalent inside of my fourth step in active addiction, and then write on them and say how they served me or disserved me in active addiction, right? So, like, I'm going through that whole process, and what I'm realizing is a lot of them has to do with communication, right? And I suck at it. I thought I was all right at communicating. Like, you know, that's why I prayed before I got up here, man, is because, like, I wanna sound good. I wanna use vocabulary that I can't spell and stuff like that, instead of just being raw. Like, you know what I mean? Is like, just tell you, maybe I have to use 12 words to say what one word means, but like, that's just me, man. But like, that shows you how uncomfortable I still am in my own skin. And like, I'm still trying to peel all them layers back and dive into who I truly am. And I would not be able to do that without this fellowship, Narcotics Anonymous, sponsorship, and step work. It is the most beautiful process in the world for me, because it lets me pick and choose, like, where, like, what's serving me and what's not serving me. And then, like, it lets me make mistakes in a comfortable environment where people call me on my shit. And like, here recently is like, I felt real cynical about this, right? Like, and I'll bring it up and I won't dive too deep into the other party's issue. Is like, so I suffer from abandonment issues. I learned that through like my fourth step and everything. And just recently, my significant other was diagnosed with a life-threatening disease, right? And it's been very impactful because like, the doctors didn't know how to treat it. Like, it's a rare form of whatever she's got, right? And it's scary as hell. And I don't really open up too much about this. Right, so like, it's impacted me drastically in my life, because like, I didn't even feel comfortable in the beginning. I went through about a 2-month hiatus of dealing with this and not even mentioning it to my sponsor and not mentioning it to my weed and like trying to deal with it, because I get so consumed with self that I'm like, I just need to deal with this, because I have this surface level vision of what a man looks like. Like, man strong, a man holds his chest out, a man does these things. And like, you look at my stature, I'm not a big guy. It's impacted me my whole life. Like, I played football, and they're like, you have more heart than anybody. I'm like, yeah, it's because I'm 90 pounds soaking wet, and I gotta give it all. Like, and you should just get bashed, right? And like, I say that because like, I still do that in my head, right? Like, I don't want to ask for help. I do not like being vulnerable. Like, I don't want to come to you and say, hey, this is what's going on in my life, and I don't know how to handle this. And, like, I need to get this off of my chest. So, like, and in my mind, I'm like, I don't want to be cynical and make this all about me because she's dealing with this life-threatening disease that impacted her to the point where she can't work. We're not really sure what's going on. She's been hospitalized. Like, all this stuff. And I don't want to make it about me, right? But, like, at the end of the day, I still have feelings and emotions, and it's affecting me in a negative way towards my recovery because it's not allowing me, like, I get real scared. And, like, that fear is very real because, like, I've never experienced it, right? And, like, I want to run. And, like, you guys have shown me that, like, I don't have to run from it. Like, it's okay to process these feelings and these emotions and, like, be able to stand up and say, like, I don't know what to do next. But, like, I learned that, like, I'm really terrible at some things, like, through this experience, right? Like, I didn't go to her first three doctor's appointments. Her mother took her. I had to work. I have ample vacation to use. I could have done it. I didn't do it. Right? That hurts. You know what I mean? Because, like, for me, it was like, well, I need to provide. And I justified it in my head, like, you know, I work too much anyways. That's one of my, I avoid when problems come up. So, like, one of my tactics to avoid dealing with life in general, no matter what it may be, is, like, I totally immerse myself in something where I don't have to think anymore about the problem. And for me, that's work, right? So, like, all the overtime you can give me, 80, 90 hours, we'll run it, right? And I'll justify it in my head, like, I'm just saving up just in case something happens and she can't go back to work. Like, none of that shit means anything. Like, when I came here, like, because it's a weird double-edged sword, right? When I came here, I had nothing to lose, right? So I had everything to gain. Because when you have nothing to lose, right? And I still have my life and stuff like that, but these were things that I couldn't imagine, right? Like, the quality of life, I was just existing, so I wasn't living. So when I came here, it was like you guys gave me suggestions and stuff like that, and it was really easy to take them. It was really easy to involve myself into certain things because, like, hell, I had nothing to lose. Like, at this point in the game, like, I'm desperate, I need a solution, and you guys gave it to me. Well, now, like, as, like, thank God for Narcotics Anonymous, I've been given a life. And it's a full life, but it's beautiful. Like, you know what I mean? I never would have imagined it to be that the way that it is today. But, like, as I gain things in Narcotics Anonymous, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that I'm not scared to lose them. You know what I mean? I want to hold on and have some semblance of control for what that looks like. Like, if I would have taken off to go take her to her doctor's appointments and they fired me, whoopee dipshit. Like, at the end of the day, I should have been there for her. I learned. You know what I mean? Like, and I will engage in, like, family matters from now on out because, like, for me, it was like I needed to be strong and pretend like nothing was going on, and I needed to present this illusion that was very fictitious because I'm scared to death. And that inner child in me came out, right? And I hadn't seen it in a little while. And, like, I'd used every tactic that I used to use, I was using in that moment. And that's, like, kind of scary sometimes because here's the reality is, like, you know, the basic text and through the literature I've read is, like, after we stop using, we start to gain some recovery and stuff like that. It's no longer, like, specifically about the drugs, right? But, like, make no illusion, like, for me, it's always going to end with the drugs if I'm not careful, right? So, like, it could be money, property, prestige that I'm chasing in the moment, but eventually, like, if I get away from, like, what I know to be true in Narcotics Anonymous, like, it will lead me back to the substances on the table. That's the harsh reality for me. I don't know about anybody else. So, it's been cool to be able to walk through it and, like, walk through it clean. Like, we're kind of out of the woods at this point in time with that situation in my life. Like, they're starting to get a grasp on it, and I still got this alarm that goes off in my house every time, like her sugar drops low, and that's fucking death. That's like death rattle, right? Like, when it goes off and stuff like that, it's, like, very scary because she's been hospitalized several times, and, like, when a doctor looks at you, like, when they divulge certain information, it's like, holy shit, man, that's heavy, right? And, like, I don't want to, and, like, that's when I really felt like, I don't know if I can handle this, right? But I am handling it. And that's through step work. That's through talking to you guys. That's through just all the beautiful things. So this last year has been really rough on me. as far as like me being vulnerable, because like this may sound weird, but when I first came here, some people like got up and they shared their experiences and what they're going through in present day and how they're staying clean through it, and I'm like, and it was some like heavy stuff, like, you know, some deep things, and I'm like, damn, I wish I had some shit like that to share. Right? Like, we all get a turn, right? Like, but at that, I wanted to rush my turn. I'm like, how come I can't be almost losing my house? I don't even have a house. Like, you know what I mean? Like, in my warped brain, that is what went through it. You know what I mean? Then I got some heavy stuff, and I'm clamming up. I ain't sharing it with nobody. Like, y'all do not deserve to know anything that's going on with my life, right? And then I forget, you know what I mean? Like, how other people got through it is by sharing about it, by, like, working through it. And, like, I'll be honest with you, I should have been done with my fifth step. All this stuff that's been going on in my life, like, it's funny because, like, I know, like, to be true through my process in recovery, like, when I'm going through a difficult time, like, typically I need to be doing some type of step work. I need to be indulging in that, right? And I'll avoid it. I'm like, I ain't got time for that right now. Like, you know? And it's crazy. So, like, I'm slowly starting to work back through it and everything else. I've been, you know, some people in my life were like, hey, man, like, you need to, like, you do suck at communicating. Obviously, you didn't tell us for 2 months that you've been going through this. Like, you know, your fifth step's a lot about communication, right? And I'm like, son of a bitch. You know what I mean? You're right. I also learned as, like, through this process of me becoming a man, or the man that, like, I've always wanted to be, right, is, like, I suck at setting boundaries. I'm terrible at it. I thought I was good. I'm like, hey, man, don't do drugs around me. Fucking nailed the boundaries. Like, you know what I mean? I'm not. So at this current time, like, a situation that I'm in, and I wanted to blame, it's through my employment. Like, I never set healthy boundaries with them. So, like, I work a lot, but I've shown them I'll work a lot, and I've never told them no. So now it's expected of me, but that's because that's what I've shown them, right? I suck at communicating with my significant other. She is an emotional genius that can process through emotions rapid fire as they come to her. I am not. Like, of lack of better terminology, I hope no one gets offended, I'm emotionally retarded, right? And I really am. Like, I will go through an emotion and it will take me 2 weeks to process what that was, right? And then by then, I have caused all types of chaos in my home. Because I tell her and I explain it to her. I'm like, I'm going through something right now. She's like, do you want to talk about it? I'm like, I don't know what it is. And she's like, you're going through it and you don't know what it is. Absolutely. Have no idea what's going on. I'll get back to you. And then 2 weeks later, I'm like, you know how I've been in a funk for the last 2 weeks? This is why. And she's like, oh, well, thank you, you know, for sharing with me. I wish you would have, like, identified that earlier, because for the last 2 weeks, I thought something was going on between us. And I'm like, oh, damn, that's pretty impactful. Right? Like, so I'm really terrible at communicating. Like, it's something that I'm working on right now, is, like, identifying how I feel, because I've numbed it for so long that, like, it's hard for me still to this day to process through emotions. I was on my way up here today, and I'm like, man, they're going to ask me to speak at a men's rap. I've never done anything like this. This is probably one of the acts of service that I dislike the most. Because if you guys hug me later, like, I'm sweating profusely, just so you heads FYI, you know what I mean? I'll still hug you. I try to call my dad, right? And that's cool. I can formulate relationships today. On the way up here, I try to call my dad, his phone's off. But, like, you know, I wanted to be like, Dad, am I a man? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's, like, literally, like, what I wanted to call and ask him and be like, if I am, like, how am I a man? You know? And his phone's off. Like, and it's cool because it let me reflect, because, like I said earlier, I'm still seeking validation from him. Like, I still want him to tell me I'm a man, but he's never told me I wasn't, right? Like, and that's crazy to me, is, like, becoming comfortable in my own skin is still, I don't know if it'll ever end. I don't know if that's a lifelong journey for me or not. I don't know yet. I'm not quite there. I can tell you I'm still not completely. And I still want to be sometimes what other people want me to be. And that's a scary thought. You know what I mean? For me, it is that whole chameleon thing, like I used in active addiction, is still prevalent today. I push myself harder than anybody else will push me. And that can be an attribute and that can be a defect as well. Because no matter what I'm doing, I'm all in. And I will give you 110% of whatever it is. But it also scares me because like titles are all good, man. But like, is that my identity? You know what I mean? And I'm starting to relate that like with my work ethic and stuff like that. I've been bestilled with a very solid work ethic. I feel proud to say that today. That's not out of ego. That's just because of what I've shown myself and what I've shown other people and the rewards that have come from it. But is that my identity? Like if that was taken away from me and I wasn't able to work as hard as I can today from whatever circumstances, would I still feel comfortable with who I am? And that's scary. Like, you know what I mean? When I take on identities, it can be detrimental because I'm under no illusion that everything here is temporary, you know, including my life, you know? And like, so like, I want to be remembered as a gentleman that carried himself and did not want to cause harm and wants to help the next person and just be the best version of me that I can be. But that is eluding me at this point in time in my life. I think I'm doing a good job at it, but like I think I'm getting a little mixed up and like lost in the sauce of what that means. Like my bank account does not reflect the type of man I am. Right? But like I get lost in that. You know, I don't get attached to material things, but I don't want to ever feel like I have nothing again. So like I don't drive fancy cars or anything like that. I don't even have a house, but like I'm very so much like I will pinch pennies when it's not necessary. Like I will buy generic things when and I don't really want the generic one and I want the other one. Why? Because like I'm afraid like I may not have it. And that's scary to me still. I do not like feeling like I have nothing. So, like, I appreciate all of you guys for being here. I hope I did a good job, but I feel better about myself. And if any of you guys got anything from it, like, that's great, man. My name's Cody, and I thank you all. Thank you.